Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Everything Horror Podcast. I know it's been a hot minute since the last one, and let me tell you what, life has been hectic. And if I could put it in short, what to say, new jobs suck. So, without further ado, my name is Paul Dolsky, and with us, we are joined by Snails, Jerome, and Reed, who are basically making a project for our madness of the mind. I'm just gonna throw out there, or in the mouth of madness, should I just say, where we got the composer, we got some interesting ideas getting thrown at us. I have like a little like press release image thing that I'm kind of like looking at as I say this, but anyway, so without further ado, we're talking about like a tabletop game that involves Cthulhu. Now, when we think in tabletop, like the first thing that I thought of this with, a tabletop RPG that's with Cthulhu. So I guess I'm going to throw out there. So who's, how did this idea even came to be? I don't honestly have no idea too much of who we got here. So let's start with you, Snails. Let's get to know who you are and what role you take in this tabletop game.
Yeah, I am the like lead designer for the ARG, as well as several of the monsters and some of the rules. I'm also the art director, and it's just, Action Fiction is a small company, so I wear a lot of hats. That's mostly what I do. To answer your question as to how it came about, though, it all starts with Reed, actually.
Hey, Paul, this is Reed, and I'm glad to be here today. Thank you for having us on. Cthulhu Dreamt was something I started with some friends of mine a few years ago as kind of like a music project that was heavily based in story, and we developed like a backstory to kind of write the music against. But it was really a very personal project to me to kind of go through having lost a daughter at childbirth and like dealing with, you know, all of the stuff that goes with that, which is always pretty heavy. But, luckily Cthulhu is there to kind of embody all of those emotions that we can't control as human beings. And so it became kind of an easy thing to conceive of and have this boogeyman, to which we are constantly in struggle with and, you know, may or may not be succeeding. We've got a couple albums under our belt as far as that goes, but, Jaren and I have been friends for a few years also, and we were talking about something completely different, and, we were talking about Kickstarters, and then we got on the subject of Cthulhu Dreamt, and I'll let Jaren take it from there.
Yeah, sure. Again, Paul, I'll reiterate, thanks so much for having us. I'm super excited to be here. Reed and I have worked on a couple of projects together in the past where, I founded this game company that Snails and I work at called Action Fiction. And we've done some tabletop RPGs where for the Kickstarter, Reed did our music. That's kind of how we got to know each other. And when Reed came to me with Cthulhu Dreamt and talking about a Kickstarter and a game, I started salivating and I was like, oh man, Reed, do you think that maybe we could work together to make this, to make it a playable game? Which thank God Reed said yes, super excited about that. So Action Fiction just started throwing ideas at the wall, right? We dove into the world that Reed had already created through the first Cthulhu Dreamt album and just started building out, you know, what does a story look like in this world? And that kind of winds up with me at kind of in the driver's seat for the project as a whole, right? For the RPG side of things. Like Snail said, we wear a lot of hats. So I'm writing the story for where the album is going to, or for where the role-playing game is going to take us. I'm doing a lot of the mechanics design using a system that a very close friend of ours designed a while ago. We're kind of riffing off of that system. And we're just building it and creating this very cool interactive narrative experience for players to go through.
Fair enough. Yeah. You know, I'm like just kind of quickly trying to skim through some of the stuff here for the immediate release. So first off, you guys are, like you said, are planning a Kickstarter, which looks like it's supposed to go up on March 28th of this year, obviously. On top of this, you guys are trying to do a book, a soundtrack, even on vinyl, I think a CD and digitally, which I'm assuming it's saying stream safe soundtrack. So I'm assuming like Spotify, maybe Bandcamp or something, because I know sometimes some soundtracks are even on there. Reed, are you like, am I hitting the ballpark where I can find your music?
Yeah. Cthulhu Dreamt is on all streaming services, and we do have like physical merch available, which will also be available during the Kickstarter, you know, directly from the Kickstarter page and stuff. And then kind of going back to the soundtrack that we're writing for the game, the stream safe portion of that, what it really means is if somebody wants to do like a live play or, you know, Twitch their game, they can be playing the music without fear of any like red flags or, you know, takedown notices or anything like that. It'll be completely safe to play along with during their stream.
Yep. Even if you just want to vibe with it in like your standard stream, which some of the stuff, like considering that like it's all lyricless because it's meant to be like a soundtrack to the background. I've been working with Reed on it. They kind of just giving a little bit of feedback and listening as it's been developing. And it's a vibe.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite things about, like, books, not books, well, sometimes, some people like this in a way, they kind of create their own soundtrack just to kind of fit the atmosphere, to immerse yourself even more as you guys are trying to do with this. And, like, with movies is what I was trying to say, like, depending on the music, like, you can really get lost in the vibe, depending on, you know, whatever you're watching. Like in horror genre, you know, you know when the music is picking up, your main character or whoever is in trouble, that type of stuff. So it's really nice to see the different melodies, as I kind of like to put it, because you just never know what is going to happen. Because especially with some sound where it kind of starts very slow, but then it starts to pick up, and then next thing you know, it's like you're getting slapped in the face because something is going on, and whether a main character is getting killed or struggling or something. So it's always fun to see that type of, or hear that type of experience, as long as it fits whatever, you know, whatever you're trying to you know, fit it with, I guess. Now, like you were just saying, and I kind of see like a little small picture here where it looks like it's a double vinyl, which is amazing. And over our, what is it, 150 minutes of music. So that's like 2 hours and 30 minutes of music. So that's amazing. For the tabletop game, which I'm assuming Jerome would be the perfect candidate for this one, and maybe Snails. But how long would you say it would take to play this tabletop game?
It's a really good question, Paul. The plan right now, right, is to make each chapter of the game a single session. Now, if you wanted to speed run the campaign that's in the book, you could probably do it in 10 sessions. But what we go for, right, is to include a lot of sort of optional and spin-off content that can be inserted at a moment's notice. If anybody listening or Paul, if you've ever played D&D, you know what it's like when you get all of your players except one to show up to a game night. Somebody cancels last minute. Now you're like, oh, geez, what are we going to do? Because, you know, we came here to play this, but we don't want to play without that person. So we're including a lot of little sort of one-shot stories that take place in other parts of the world that you can run. And, you know, they don't have to tie in directly to the main campaign, but they're going on at the same time as the main campaign. So that way people can get an even broader experience. There's also a lot of objectives and, you know, side quests and things like that throughout the game. So realistically, the campaign could take anywhere between 10 sessions and easily 3 or 4 times that, depending on, you know, how in-depth you want to run your sessions.
All right. I just didn't know if Snail had anything before I just intercepted another question. But the one thing I just don't see is so what is the minimum and maximum players?
That's a great question too. I think for minimum and maximum, it's sort of the same setup as D&D. You can play with as few as probably 3 players and a GM sitting at the table. That'll give you, I think, the smallest player count, and you'll still feel confident in your ability to tackle challenges. And then the upper limit is really just whatever the facilitator is capable of running for. I've known some folks that run campaigns with 8 players at their table, which sounds incredibly chaotic to me. But some people love to have game tables like that.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. Now, is this your guys' first crowdfund to try to fund, or have you guys tried it like Kickstarter or Indiegogo before?
This is going to be Action Fiction's 4th Kickstarter. We've done 3 Kickstarters in the past where Reed did some incredible music for us for a different product called Monsters of Murka. And that one was for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. This is going to be the first time that we depart from 5e as a system. And we're also kind of leaving behind the world that we were in, which was more of like a comedy satire world, and now we're diving more into that, you know, cosmic sci-fi horror arena.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, let me just ask you, how would you describe Action Fiction to somebody who'd never heard of your company or the company?
Oh, how would I describe? Oh, that's a good question. Okay. a group of friends who really want to stick it to the man. The company got its first legs when Jaren literally had a dream about Monsters of Murka and wrote it down in the middle of the night. And so that's how he and the 3 founders got together and started everything. But the crew that we have now, which is, what are we, 9 people, 10 people, Jaren?
Yep, 9 people strong.
Yeah, 9 people strong. We all came together during the second Kickstarter, and we came together with this idea of like, we saw a lot of how other big corporations in the TTRPG sphere do things, and we were not super thrilled with them. So we wanted to make a company that does things like always pays its writers as fairly as we possibly can, encourages anti-crunch practices, good work-life balance and that kind of stuff, which, you know, for a small company is not the most profitable choice, but it is the one that lets us like feel like we're doing the right thing at the end of the day. So as much as we grow and maybe have to engage in some like corporate talk, we are very anti-corporate for a corporation. Are we a corporation or are we just a company?
These are the questions that keep me up at night.
I would say it should, like, I don't know, maybe LLC. That would be my guess.
Yeah, that's what we are on paper.
Okay, well, that makes sense. But wow, 9 people. So I guess so how long has Action Fiction been around now?
Yeah, you nailed it right on the first time. It's Jaren. Action Fiction has been doing products since 2018, I think, is when we first started work together. At that time, it was just my brother and a college friend of ours. And that was when we started work on our first book, which was overambitious, to say the least. But we did manage to pull it together.
Now, can people browse your website, which I'm assuming is actionfiction.com, I think is what
yep.
I thought. Okay.
Yeah, they can go there. They can learn more about the books that we've done in the past. They can also learn more about Cthulhu Dreamt, the Kickstarter that's going live next Tuesday, March 28th.
Yeah. Wow. It's almost a week. Are you guys excited for that?
That's a word. It's yes. But like, there's always a nervous excitement whenever a Kickstarter is about to go live. It's my 3rd one, and I'm still not like, it's not boring yet, that's for sure.
Well, I'd hope not. I mean, you know, it's a nice to find a platform where other people that believe in such projects can help bring it to life. You know, it's not like you're, I don't know, let's just say like on the corner, like asking for change, you know, like, I mean, like, here's my idea, give me money. and no offense to everybody out that maybe do that, because I know, like, you know, nowadays with everybody like having a hard time with what this world has become, and I'm just gonna leave it at that, because I really just don't like talking politics. But I mean, you know, what better way would you be able to get more word out there, especially now with Kickstarter, where if your project is doing well, I think it's in the first 24-48 hours, you know, you get slapped with the project we love, so you guys will be off to a great start as well.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. And we've got an awesome team of folks who are kind of helping us along. Liz with Sphinx PR, she's been doing a bunch of awesome contact stuff for us. Rob at Southgate Media has also been really cool about just finding us places where we can talk about this sort of stuff and helping make sure that our ship is airtight before we send it off on its maiden voyage.
That's always a good thing. You want to make sure you double, triple, quadruple check everything before you just hit that go live button. Because, yeah, that's always, like Snail was saying, that's always the scary part. And, sometimes you just never know how your project is going to be, too, because you just never know what other projects are out there that could, I don't know, I'll just say might be bigger than yours. And then next thing you know, it's like you wonder why your project is not getting viewed that much. And then you find out, oh no, this big thing is going on. So what I find is how does one decide when they want to launch their campaign? So like between you guys, like you guys wanted the end of the month here. So is there a particular reason why, or is it just more easier for the time being?
That's a really fun question, because we have shifted our internal plan for that launch date like 3 or 4 times, trying really hard to just make sure that, you know, the most important thing for us is that we go to the Kickstarter when we are ready, when we have everything that we're going to need to go live, so that backers can see really what the product is about, you know? Mm-hmm. And ultimately we landed on March 28th because we were finally ready, which is great. And also we had a partner project. Rick Hines is writing a book for 5th edition called The Black Ballad, which is also a really cool horror, after a TPK sort of adventure. And he launched his earlier this month. So we're kind of doing some cross promotion with him as well, so that the stars really aligned for this one.
Yeah, it's actually funny. Our very first date that we wanted was like, I think early March of last year. And we just kept pushing it back and kept pushing it back, like Jaren said, to ensure that quality, and to ensure that the wait for the backers isn't too long when things kind of come out on the other end. So there's a lot of groundwork that goes into designing and developing an entire book, which is another thing that we wanted to do with the company, is kind of make things a lot more transparent for people. Because if you ask somebody, if your grandmother was to ask you, how do you make a book for a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons? It's not a lot of people can really answer that question unless they've done it before. So, yeah.
Well, I want to take that sort of that question that you just said, Snails, and I want to transfer it to Reed, where in this case, Reed, how do you take a book and turn it into a soundtrack?
Well, so I founded a studio called Fable Factory, and it's basically a collective of artists who create projects for ourselves and then others, you know, they can hire us to assist with their projects as well. But everything we do for ourselves is always story based. You know, we don't just like create a song to have a song generally. So we think of what is happening and what's going to happen, and then how do we kind of interpret that into music. And And so that, you know, the Cthulhu Drent project is really no different. I mean, the first album was entirely about just kind of the setup, like what happened and what's happening in it. It goes over this period of time that takes us to the experiment that essentially brings, you know, the island of Relay and Cthulhu's tomb into our universe. And then the second album is like this period of time between when that occurred and when Cthulhu actually wakes up. And then the game takes over from when Cthulhu wakes up, and the soundtrack kind of follows along with that. So kind of early on, when the discussions began, one of the very first things we did was essentially outline the campaign. And so I was able to go through and have all of these kind of points of reference to go off and say, okay, you know, we're going to do this thing here. To me, that sounds like this, or, you know, I kind of want this feeling to come through in the music. And so was able to kind of begin writing. And Snails mentioned that, you know, we put off the first date, which would have been a year ago, to now. And the funny thing is, I was able to, in that time with my fellow musicians, to create an EP to kind of set us up to like fill that gap of time between while we were waiting to kind of launch the game. And it also allowed us to essentially finish the bass soundtrack. So like the entire story soundtrack is complete. It's ready to rock. And once the Kickstarter is concluded, we'll know how much more music we'll have to compose based on like stretch goals and stuff like that. And then comes the part two, where I take a lot of what has been composed for just the story soundtrack and create like ambient tracks with that, because, you know, not everybody wants to like play a game and be interrupted by just like blast beat drumming or, you know, like windmill headbanging. So it'll be taking some of those tracks and making something that's still kind of in that, like giving that vibe, but a little bit more like sonic wallpapery, so it doesn't interrupt like gameplay and flow.
And to kind of go off of that real fast, one of the very cool things about this book is, as a, we call our game masters facilitators. Anybody who's facilitating a game, if they have the book with them, there's going to be QR codes at certain beats inside of the book that you can scan, and they'll bring you to like a playlist page that will automatically open up the song that you need for that moment. So it's we've had a lot of time to think about it, and there's going to be a lot of really cool quality of life stuff like that.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah. Nothing like having the wrong song at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
So I guess, Reed, between this project and your other project, have you found anything challenging more about this one coming around? Or did you feel like you already had sort of the melodies in your head once you kind of saw either the book or how Snails and Jerome were talking to you about what they're looking for?
I wouldn't say I had any like different challenge or additional challenges. You know, the one thing that I would call out that makes kind of the soundtrack for the game like pretty special to me is we were able to contract with some different orchestras around the world to perform the music that we wrote. Like myself and a couple others that are in the band, like we went to school for music and have that training with composing for like full orchestra and choir and stuff like that. So it was really nice to kind of flex those muscles a little bit and you know, really kind of help the score, the soundtrack for the game kind of open up and breathe into all these different genres and have it feel a lot closer to like a cinematic type soundtrack versus just here's some metal songs, you know, go forth and do harm, you know. No, it's like no, there's moments in there where, you know, if you're like me, you know you might actually have a tear in your eye listening to this or like going through what's happening in the game or the story. And there's other times where it's like, okay, yeah, this is my soundtrack for killing a Cthulhuan cosmic creature. This is great, you know. So it was really nice to like work with like these huge orchestras and have that come back.
Sounds nice. I mean, like I said, you know, I'm a big soundtrack fan, so I mean, I can't wait to hear something from this. I'm assuming possibly that the Kickstarter page might have some sort of sample of the soundtrack, like some campaign crowdfund do, just to kind of show you like what the atmosphere is sort of like, which in this case, like, I don't know who would be, I think it might actually be Drone, maybe Snails too, but so when it comes to like, you know, the stretch goes, what are you guys actually looking for? I guess let's dive into your crowdfund a little bit. Like, what is the main goal, and then what are you hoping to accomplish as it goes out, with like stretch goals and stuff?
Yeah, for sure. the primary goal for us for this Kickstarter is just to get the books out there and get the music out there. So we're trying to keep the reward tiers pretty simple, right? There's really only three. There's you get it digital, you get it physical, where you'll get a CD with the soundtrack as well as the book. And then there's a, you know, a real beautiful, fancy schmancy deluxe version. It's got like a slip case. That's where you get the vinyls and that sort of thing. And that's really just all that we want to get off the ground as a bare minimum. Our stretch goals are all over the place in terms of stuff that we get to provide, which I'm super excited about. Some of the stretch goals involve some of the expanded universe bits of Cthulhu Dreamt. I'll throw over to Snails to talk about the comic in a bit, but there's a comic, there's a novel that folks can pick up as well. All that stuff is really, really fun. And then, you know, given that we're kind of a grassroots style company, some of our stretch goals are also, they tie back internally. So, you know, bonuses for our writers, right? At certain stretch goals, we get to increase their word rate retroactively. That way, you know, they get to share in the success of the book. And then some of them are in-book expansions. You know, we can add some more specialties, which is kind of how we approach a class system. We can add more art. We can do better, higher quality printing, that sort of stuff. So our stretch goals get to hit a lot of those markers. The comic is really cool, and I will let Snails talk about the comic.
Absolutely. First, I must comment, you have a gorgeous cat. For listeners, it's just a beautiful black cat. The comic is called Weird Ops. It's part of the whole metaverse, and it actually lets you get to see some of the events that lead up to, surrounds the game in the world at the time, and give you an idea of some of the big players. For example, the big kind of evil corporation that we have is called Salian Wealth. And they're, think of them as like Amazon, but more evil, and bigger. So you kind of get to see a little bit of them and like what their, armed individuals, named Edge Troopers, what they do when fighting like, cosmic entities, that we call Traces. And it also ties directly in with the ARG that's going on right now, until the end of the Kickstarter, that has codes that you can decipher and videos you can find, and as well as exclusive music. I redid like a 12-minute song.
Oh, did we lose Snails?
I think we did.
Oh, no. yeah, I'll pick up where Snails was. To do the ARG, where we kind of buried some code, was within music and created like musical code, or Snails created. I just performed, but yeah, like one of the pieces, one of the tracks was like this 12-minute and 4-second kind of epic thing with, you know, kind of a regular song and like a cinematic type addition, and then this kind of weird section with music that kind of flows, but there's something there for somebody who's playing that ARG.
Oh, there he is. There's Snails. Welcome back, Snails.
Sorry about that. Just microphone issues, unfortunately. But yeah, like Reed was saying, we have 3 or 4 different ciphers that are out and floating now, as well as a whole bunch of text. And it all ties into each other. So the music ties into other codes, which tie into the comic, which tie into the Kickstarter, which tie into our Discord, which tie into a couple of different YouTube channels. So everything is very interconnected, and and all of it ties into a Reddit that we have, that's being set up to kind of act as like a staging ground for facilitators and players to like get their games started in universe. So really the whole project is designed to be like as immersive as it can possibly be, if you want to engage at that level. Obviously, not everybody has the time or the desire to like sit down with a bunch of squiggles and try and figure out what letters they mean. Some people find that fun, like me, others don't. So you can just get the book and have a great time. But if you really do love like digging into the world of a place, we've got a lot of stuff for lore junkies.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, so you mentioned my little cat here. So this little guy, his name is Ryder. He is 10 months old. I actually adopted him right on his 7th, right as he turned 7 months. He chose me. He actually has a very unique feature. One of his eyes is like a white green, and his other eye is like darker. And when I got him, his right eye, where it was more darker than the other one, was actually showing fogginess, almost like he was blind. However, he's not blind. He just had, I guess, an accident when he was little. And ever since he'd been with me, which I know you can't really tell with the video and stuff, but you don't see the fogginess in his eyes anymore. So it cleared up ever since he'd been in his new home. So I don't know what happened to him and stuff, but let me tell you what, this is a little terrorizer, but he's also loved when I get home because he loves attention, and he almost as bad as my other cat. He usually shows attention when he wants food. So I guess, oh man, where to begin? I mean, I guess is, what do you guys, how, like, if I wanted to back, like, we're looking at the campaign right now, how would you guys try to sell it to me if I was like, what to say, like at a con and you guys had a table, like, and I was 100% sure about this, but how would you guys like try to sell it to me?
It's a good question. So for listeners who are kind of not sold, we'll typically show them the landing page because it gives a little taste of everything, right? It talks a little bit about the story. You get a little sampling of the music, a little sampling of the art. I'm a really, really big fan of the art style that we're leaning into with this, and I think that it's going to be a big selling point for the game as well. We're leaning into a sort of like declassified documents and field guide art style. So a lot of our creatures are, you know, watercolors or sketches. A lot of our landscape shots are stylized as like, analog photography or Polaroids. And we kind of have those displayed on the page where it looks like they're paper clipped in, or it looks like some of the text has been blacked out with a marker. And I think that really gives you a really cool vibe of, you know, what it's like to live under that sort of controlling oppression of a government-like entity that is equal parts Amazon and private military corporation.
Yeah, and to follow up on that, I'd say from a gameplay standpoint, we have 10 specialties, which are our version of classes. And it's a, the system is called Sojourn. And like Jaren mentioned earlier, it was created by a friend of ours named Adam Bifoni. It's, if you like Dungeons and Dragons, but you feel like maybe there's too much combat or that you don't get to experience the journey enough, then Sojourn is for you. And that and Cthulhu Dreamt is for you, because we really do focus more on the journey of getting from point A to point B than necessarily the combat. We do have combat. We have combat mechanics. The system can operate rules light or as crunchy as you want it. The basics are very simple. I don't know if you're familiar with Cypher system at all, but it's very similar in that you have stats, and you can burn those stats to improve rolls, and you roll a d12 instead of a d20 and to like hit target numbers. So if you're coming from Dungeons and Dragons, it's not a huge learning curve. And if you've played Cypher system before, you'll find stuff that's familiar from both places. But I would say that this game is definitely for people who want to have that experience of like their own Lord of the Rings experience, really, of journeying from the Shire to Mount Doom. I think our system is uniquely situated to give you that experience where maybe some others aren't.
Well, fair enough. I already loved the fact that I heard watercolor. I mean, watercolor, you can't go wrong with that. Sometimes you get the most beautiful atmosphere that you can even find at all. And everything else, and uh-oh. Did Jerome get disconnected or come on?
I think Jaren's got a 4 o'clock that he needs to.
Oh yeah, it is almost four. So Jaren is probably gonna have to like pop out here in a second because he's got work stuff. I know. He might be shifting situations. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, sorry, my phone disconnected and immediately rejoined the interview here.
Ah. Well, if you need to get going, I mean, I don't want to keep you too, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, is there anything else that I didn't catch on with that I didn't ask you before you have to go? Like, is there something that you would like to share that I haven't asked you yet?
Nothing from me yet. I fully trust Reed and Snails. They're great partners. So if you think of any questions and you're like, damn, I wish I would have asked Jaren that, feel free to ask Reed or Snails, and I feel like they can speak pretty well for me.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, thanks so much, Paul.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
You too. All right. So Snails and Reed, you heard him. He trusted your word, so I mean,
oh no.
Oh no.
I mean, with all fairness, I mean, it sounds like I think I picked you guys' brains pretty well. I mean, I honestly can't think of anything else more to really ask without feeling like I'm just beating a dead horse, or in this case, a dead fish. Ha ha ha. You know, Cthulhu. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So I guess it sounds like with Stretch Code, you want to add more to the books, more soundtrack, if possible. I guess I honestly don't know where else to go with this. If somebody were to come in new to a tabletop role-playing game, would it be easy for them to understand versus like somebody coming from D&D?
Absolutely. We have pre-generated characters that you can kind of like pick up and play, as well as like a character creation system. It really is it is very easy to get in on the ground floor. One of the things that we were looking at when we were kind of touching up the system to make sure that it worked for what we wanted with Cthulhu Dreamt is we wanted it to be accessible to anyone at any level. So because a lot of people really do enjoy number crunching and opening up a book, their 15th TTRPG. But I also have friends who who have expressed interest in teach RPGs and maybe they and don't like math, don't necessarily see the appeal. So I wanted, I know that I wanted and Jaren wanted to make sure that it would appeal to them too.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I guess, I mean, honestly, I feel like I've asked everything that I possibly can. And, I mean, Snails and Reeds, I mean, is there anything that you guys need to throw out there that would seem important? Because, I mean, otherwise, I feel like we hit everything that we possibly can right now.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, for me, the only thing I would reiterate now is, you know, while we're waiting for the Kickstarter to go live, which the pre-save page is live now on Kickstarter, but, you know, a person can go and go to CthulhuDreamt.com and get that, you know, preliminary information about the game and the story and the music and get samples of the art and stuff like that. So that would probably be the only thing I would say is just to reiterate that point.
Yeah. For me, I'd say, you know, Kickstarter is live on March 28th. We'd love to see you there. If you're interested at all, but you're not certain, the Action Fiction Discord is open to anyone to come in. We're decently active there, and we have a great community that we've been fostering. And if you want to engage with the ARG or even just see what an ARG looks like when people are engaging with it, we have channels there for that as well. So even if you don't want to do the codes yourself, but you just find the whole thing neat, you can just pop by the Discord and tell us that Paul sent you.
If not, then Cthulhu's going to hunt you down and murder you all in your sleep,
I guess. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, in all fairness, I mean, I hope Cthulhu sends you into a good lullaby and you just don't wake up from it. I mean, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But no, now that you guys sent me to a website now, I just actually put myself to get to the know of when it goes live, and I'm seeing all the nice, beautiful artwork and a much better, higher quality of the artwork, where I definitely love the vinyl artwork for sure. That definitely has to be watercolor for sure for the one that I'm staring at. I'm not really sure what's going on in it, but it looks like there's like a big I don't know, tidal wave going on with some sort of creature and a flashlight and on a boat and possibly some rock that I hope does not get the boat smashed up or something.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, this sounds like a really awesome game. And I mean, for, you know, to share with everybody in the world. Unfortunately, though, I don't really have that much friends, so I mean, this would be hard for me, but I mean, I have to say I'm always a soundtrack person, so if there's an option to just get the soundtrack, that would be amazing.
There is. Yep.
Yep. You can absolutely just get the soundtrack if you want. Our Kickstarter is structured so that way you can back at $1 and get basically anything you want as an add-on. So if you're like, hey, Reed's music is super cool, but I don't like TTRPGs, you can 100% just get that music.
Perfect. Then you already sold me for that much.
Boom. Thank you.
Score.
Now, I guess the only thing is, I hope it's not, well, I'm assuming because of it being vinyl, it has got to be a little pricey, because depending on where it's getting developed and stuff, but I mean, I don't really know. But yes, that is awesome that you can do that. Just pledge $1 and then be like, oh, look, here's add-ons. And then you can be like, oh, look at the beautiful add-ons.
Right? Yeah, it's hard to avoid sometimes.
It really is. And I mean, I hope you guys have like a really good success. And so Reed, again, you said your company for your music is Fable Factory.
Yep, fablefactory.org is my website. But yeah, like my music that I do for media is streaming everywhere. You know, just Reed Reimer is the artist name. And then, you know, the website can kind of show everybody else like other stuff that's happening too.
Very, very nice. Very nice. And I get to just to wrap things up a little bit is, you know, So what got you guys into the horror genre to begin with? So was it like, I don't know, a favorite book, favorite movie? Did you have one of those times where you just had to sneak downstairs to see what your mom and dad were watching? Schnell, we'll go with you. What got you into the horror genre? I mean, for all I know, maybe it was H.P. Lovecraft, because we are talking Cthulhu.
Oh gosh. So I was actually thinking about this the other day because I was listening to your podcast, and you were talking about your experience sneaking down, and I think you said you saw The Thing,
Bram Dracula.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. That's it. Thank you. It got me thinking about how I wound up in the genre myself, and it's actually my mother's fault. One of the first like horror movies I ever saw was The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Black and White. Yeah. And I was like, I want to say 6 or 7 years old when I watched that. Naturally, when he tore people apart, I was a bit scared. But then she paused the show to the movie to show me where the zipper was on his suit, so that way I would be able to sleep that night. And ever since then, I got hooked. I got bit by the bug, and I was just that, and I love comedy, and I've always felt like horror and comedy are two sides of the same coin. It's really just a matter of extremes. I'd have to say it's that Creature of the Black Lagoon classic. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it.
You can't go wrong with Universal Monsters, that's for sure. Reed, what do you got? What got you into the genre?
Oh, I mean, my parents pretty much raised me on TV and movies, and I mean, some of the stuff early on really had a traumatic effect on me. Like Enemy Mine is one of the first ones I can remember keeping me awake at night because of the, you know, the creature in the pit that sticks out that long tentacle thing. Like there were so many nights I couldn't sleep because I swore that tentacle was coming up beside my bed and was just like ready to grab me. But I mean, horror is one of those things where it freaks me out, and I don't always want to feel that way, but when I do, I'm glad it's there, you know? And the Cthulhu mythos is probably one of my favorites, just because like it's so like esoteric. Like we're not even supposed to be able to comprehend, you know, Cthulhu and his ilk. So it's really fun to kind of consider that when you're thinking, oh, you know, it's this man beast hybrid thing, but in reality it's kind of like a biblical angel. You know they're drawn traditionally as like humans with wings, but in reality, like if you directly interpret it from the Bible or wherever, you know, it's these freaky amalgamations of eyeballs and wings, and it's like, you know, probably way more terrifying than like soul saving. So I appreciate that aspect of the genre.
That's amazing. And I will touch on what Snails was saying since he was listening to that episode for Reed anyway. So yeah, Reed, I was like 8 years old or something, and I was hearing something downstairs and I couldn't figure out what it was. So obviously, me being a curious 8 year old, I somehow managed to go down my stairs, which is noisy as hell, somehow snuck around the corner just enough so that I could peek and see the living room TV. And I just happened to be at the part during Bram Stoker's Dracula where I can't remember the character's name, but I want to say it was like Mina on the table with the werewolf. And I'm just like watching a couple seconds of that. And that's when I'm like, okay, I don't know if I should watch this anymore. So I like somehow managed to ninja my way back upstairs and just like, I guess fall back to sleep because it didn't really terrify me that much. Oof. But it was just like, what the hell did I watch? You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was like my first experience into it. And then, you know, I kind of saw the old black and white TV show of the monsters. I used to watch that with my grandparents and my parents and stuff. And and then next thing you know, I saw Tremors and stuff, and I was I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah,
Tremors, classic, so good.
But I mean, it's always fun in games. It's always nice to hear everybody's experience, because sometimes it could be the most, you know, weirdest way to get into the genre, and then it's also the most like creepiest manifestation of I can't ever watch that movie or whatever again in my life, you know. Mm-hmm. But on top, I guess for to wrap things up, Snails Reed, thank you so much for your time. I know we kind of discussed it a few seconds ago, but we'll do it again just for everybody to get out a piece of pen and paper now for the listeners. And if they want to jot down real quick, where can people find you to keep up to date with your future project, including Cthulhu Drum? Snailed real quick. So once again, where can people keep up with Cthulhu Dreamt, especially with Action Fiction?
Yeah, you can go to find Action Fiction on Twitter. You can go to our website, actionfiction.com. If you go there, there should also be links to our Discord, where we post announcements for everything. Those are probably the best places to go. I would recommend the website above Twitter.
Fair enough. And Reed, one more time for your music, if anybody wanted to, you know, kind of find your catalog.
Yeah, so fablefactory.org is the best place to find everything coming out of that creative studio. And then CthulhuDreamt.com will always be updated to whatever is the newest thing that's, you know, in the Cthulhu Dreamt universe, even post Kickstarter. So, you know, when the band gets back to just releasing music not related to an RPG, that'll be up to date.
Perfect. Well, and, I appreciate your guys' times, and forgive me with what my job ended up doing. So I ended up having to be a couple minutes late, especially when it came to my desktop having to boot up, because I felt like that was taking God awfully longer than what I should have.
No worries, man. Thanks for having us on a ton, Paul.
Hey, you're very welcome. And if there's anything I can do to help you guys in the near future, you know how to reach me.
Awesome.
All right. For everybody else listening, thank you so much. And, keep your bed bug closer to you, because Cthulhu is going to wake up the whole damn world, destroy everything, probably come and, like, talk to your cat with tea, you know, because Cthulhu has this weird moment with his tentacles, because you just never know what's going to happen. And the whole world is going to go crazy, god awfully crazy. And I don't even know. You're just all doomed. Ugh. The end. All right. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much. Bear with me for this episode. It's me coming back into the world of the podcasting. So it's like everything is all weird again. But I hope Snails and Reed had a good time nonetheless, with Jerome having to weed early. So, I mean.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. And for everybody else, once again, real quick, make sure to stay scary, because you just never know what type of god-awful thing is going to come your way next time. But I'm not trying to say that as in Cthulhu Dreamt is bad. Don't get that wrong, because for all I know, it's an amazing tabletop game that's going to rip you in half.